Hey, good morning, Wisconsin. How you doing today? It's Tuesday. It's the 16th of May, and you are tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show. And if you are saying to yourself, "Self, I don't think that's Earl on the radio right now," well, you're correct. This is Stu Daniels, a.k.a. Stu Man, the newsman, filling in for Earl today. And I'll be here for a few days. Earl taking some well-deserved time off. Hope you're having a good day so far. It's 7 minutes after 8 o'clock now on this Tuesday morning. And for those of you who haven't heard my voice before, I used to do the morning show with Earl in Milwaukee from March of 2017 until July of 2020. And if you happen to listen to music radio in Milwaukee back in the 1980s and 1990s, then you may have heard me on several different music stations back in the day. So Earl's taking a few days off. I am honored to be filling in. Thank you for tuning in today to your local civic media radio station. It is a busy Tuesday morning, lots of stuff going on. I'm going to try to get to some national, state, and local news stories this morning. And I can always use your assistance. It's been a while since I've been on the air, a few months. Last time I was on was when I was filling in for Matt Flynn a few months ago. But if you want to give me a call, if you have anything to add on these topics that we're going to be talking about today, please feel free. The phone number is 844-967-2789. And one of the things I wanted to start with before we get on to current events is some history. What happened on this date in history? Well, one thing that happened, 1943 on this date. It was 80 years ago today that the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising was brought to an end by Nazi troops. The Warsaw Ghetto was a fenced-in area of the city in Poland where Jewish people were kept before they were sent to the death camp at Treblinka. And after 90% of the people had already been sent away, the remaining 50,000 people put up a very courageous fight for about a month before it was quashed by the Nazis. You can't forget about stuff like that. Because when you do, it could happen again. So, born on this date, May 16th, 1966, Janet Jackson. Also, Olga Corbett. How many of you remember Olga Corbett, Olympic gymnast? She was born in 1955. Also, Henry Fonda, born on this date in 1905. I've been seeing Jane Fonda quite a bit recently on television, promoting her movies. It seems like she has a new movie coming out every few months these days. And also born on this date in 1912, Studs Terkel, author and historian. If you ever come across something written by Studs Terkel, stop and read it. You'll be glad you did. It was on this date in 1986 that Top Gun premiered in the movie theaters. And if you want to feel old, it was on this date in 1985 that Michael Jordan was named Rookie of the Year. Yes, man. That has been a long time, hasn't it? Also, in 1990, Jim Henson passed away on this date, as did Sammy Davis Jr. on the same date. And one of my heroes, guitarist Django Reinhardt, passed away on this date in 1953. And it was on this date in 1929 that the first Academy Awards were handed out. And the first baseball game under the lights in the American League was on this date in 1939. It was the Cleveland Indians and the Philadelphia Athletics. So anyway, getting back to current events, things that are happening right now, seems like there's a lot going on. One thing happening here in Wisconsin, it looks like Tom Tiffany is thinking about running against Tammy Baldwin in the election next year. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Bill Glauber says, Representative Tom Tiffany tests the waters on a run against U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin in 2024. And it says here in this article from the Journal Sentinel that Tom Tiffany was out for a political test drive. Now, how would you feel if Tom Tiffany was your state's or was your U.S. senator instead of Tammy Baldwin? You think it would make any difference? I think it would make a big difference. And this story here says, on Saturday morning in a hotel ballroom 250 miles from his home in Minocqua, the Republican congressman who represents a swath of northern Wisconsin in the 7th District was speaking to two dozen conservative activists. His topic was, you want to take a guess? Border policy. But the back, that's right, border policy in Wisconsin. But the background was political as Tiffany entered the inevitable phase that comes when deciding whether to take on Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin next year. He's talking about it, even preparing for it online by buying domain names, but not yet committing to the race. The quote says, I believe Tammy Baldwin can be beat in 2024. Not an easy task, but I do believe she can be defeated. The question is, does Tiffany believe he's the candidate best positioned to do it? The Milwaukee area appearance showed two sides of Tiffany during his presentation at the Spring Conservative Women's Conference. Tiffany said he believed, quote, that the border is the number one issue because at this point in time, we no longer are a sovereign nation and we no longer have a southern border, end quote. He claimed, the border has simply been erased. But through his talk and follow-up questions, he never once mentioned Baldwin. During an interview, though, he repeatedly called Baldwin a, quote, rubber stamp for the Biden administration, criticizing Democrats for policies on crime, on energy, the border, and the nation's finances. Here's a quote. It says, I mean, the race ultimately ends up being a referendum on the incumbent, right? Tiffany said, I mean, it's always about the incumbent. And so that's why I go back and talk about her, because that's the contrast. End quote. Republicans still don't have a runner in the race to take on Baldwin in 2024 as she tries to win a third term. But there are a bunch of people thinking about it, including Madison businessman Eric Hovde, Franklin businessman Scott Mayer, and Milwaukee County Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. U.S. Representative Mike Gallagher of Green Bay has also been the focus of intense speculation, even as he waves it off and concentrates on his role as chairman of a select committee on China. Unlike most of the others, Tiffany is publicly considering the nuts and bolts of running a race against Baldwin. His quote says, you've got to figure out how you're going to be competitive, and that's part of what I'm going through now, he said. And by the way, if you're listening right now, and you are a person who normally votes Republican, I'd like to hear what you think of who you'd like to see face Senator Baldwin. Okay? Feel free to call in 844-967-2789. Tom Tiffany went on in this article and said, I have not had sign-off for my family. I've got to talk to my wife and family and see if it's going to work for them. End quote. Another consideration is the field that might assemble for the race, including whether it could be cleared for one candidate to take the challenge straight to Baldwin. That's what Democrats did in 2012, the year Baldwin first won statewide election, as she defeated former Governor Tommy Thompson, who had been weakened in a fierce GOP primary. Tiffany said it would be helpful if the field was cleared, but he's not counting on that. Quote, I'm going to meet with the other people that may be considering running. I want to talk to them. I want to see what their plan is. I want to share with them how I see the race, and let's find the best candidate to run. I don't think there's anything wrong with primaries, but you have to have a plan for after the primary, how you're going to be able to fund your race from day one. End quote. Well, I guess he continues talking and says, you should have to tell Republican voters how you're going to be competitive from the day after the primary, he added. Money is a consideration. Quote, the opening bid is $50 million on our side, he said. I believe Tammy Baldwin is going to raise $100 million, end quote. Tiffany has been supported in the past by GOP mega donors Richard and Elizabeth Uline, or Eline, depending on how you like to pronounce that, owners of Pleasant Prairie-based Uline Incorporated. He said he has not talked to them specifically about this race yet. And Democrats are already attempting to soften him up, tagging Tiffany as, quote, toxic Tom, a reference to his views on climate change and mining in the Northwoods, and other positions Democrats deem extreme. They call him, quote, an anti-abortion extremist who co-sponsored a bill to prohibit abortion in cases where a fetal heartbeat is detectable. And they claim he's an election denier who objected to certifying President Joe Biden's 2020 victories in Arizona and Pennsylvania, and said he would have voted to overturn Biden's win in Wisconsin had it been subject to a vote. Tiffany doesn't back down from his conservative approach. It has played well in the 7th District, which over the last two decades has turned from a 50-50 purple district to a red district that helped former President Donald Trump win Wisconsin in 2016. Tiffany said he believes the change started under Barack Obama, claiming the former president, quote, traded blue-collar America for coastal elites, the big tech companies. The character of the Democratic Party, he doesn't say Democratic, he says Democrat. The character of the Democrat Party very much changed, he said. People feel left behind. Since first winning the seat in a special election in 2020, Tiffany and others have turned the district even more red. What Wisconsin right now, that's Wisconsin right now, dubbed as the Tiffany Blueprint. Republicans now occupy every state, Senate, and assembly seat in the district, gaining the last three pickups in 2022 in Northwest Wisconsin. I'm going to leave it right there for now. We'll get to the rest of this article from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel after we take a break. Stick around. If you want to join in on the conversation, feel free to call 844-967-2789. You are tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. I'm Stu Daniels, filling in for Earl today. Hope you're having a good day. Thank you for tuning in to your local civic media radio station. And just before the break, we were discussing Tom Tiffany, Representative Tom Tiffany from the 7th District, considering a run against Tammy Baldwin. We were going over a story from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And before we get back to that story, I understand we have Tom from Cedarburg on the phone. Tom, how are you doing today, and what do you have to add?
Well, I just wanted to say I'm so glad to hear back on the air on Devil Radio, and I enjoyed listening to you previously. I hope they can find a spot to squeeze you in. I think you'd be a good addition. You have a voice that's really good for radio. I was wondering, too, during your show, if you could maybe tell us what stations you're on previously. You had mentioned you're on, what, in the 80s and 90s or something in Milwaukee radio?
Yeah, back in the 80s and 90s, were you listening to music radio in Milwaukee at that time?
I was listening to all kinds of stuff, QFM, ZFM.
yeah, ZMF, right. I was on 93 QFM in the late 1980s, like 87, 88, 89, back when Downstairs Dan was doing the afternoon show, and David Lee, the Lee Monster, was doing the midday show, and I was on in the evening from like 10 at night till 2 in the morning for a few years back then. I was also on WKLH, and you remember Breezin, the jazz station?
Not so much.
No? No. Well, that's okay, because that turned into V100, and I worked there for a while, and then I did a show on WYMS for several years, so That was a long time ago. It seems like ancient history these days, but thanks for asking about that. And thank you for the kind words, Tom. Is that why you called, just to say nice things about me? Or did you have something else you wanted to add about what we're discussing today?
I'm one of those few people, I guess, who I have been suckered into voting Republican for decades. I used to listen to Rush and people like that. And I don't know if you remember, there was a show called Marlon Maddox on Christian radio in the 80s on the far right side of the FM dial. He was pretty good. But I noticed as time goes by that they just became more and more radical, I guess. And just not for common people, you know, unions and stuff like that, to really actually do help common people to make a living. And I've noticed a change in society going from one earner household that could make it. Now you really got to have two to live in a safe area and actually own a property. And even then, it's a real struggle. But Scott Walker helped open my eyes, and those days are over for voting for the right days. They're just too much deceit, and you can see the, especially since the decision, I think in 2010 by the big court in Washington that changed a law that allowed big money into politics. It's really changed things for the worst, I think. So I think really,
yeah. Well, that's. Yeah, I was just going to say that that's really interesting, Tom, to hear from someone like you who voted Republican for a long time and then decided that they weren't representing you anymore. Now, you say that what opened your eyes was, Act 10, when that happened back, around 2010 or so?
It was that, and 4 years later, Walker had been saying that that he would not sign the bill to go after private unions also. Mm-hmm. But that's the first thing he did when he won. So he was lying again and deceiving people. And I see a lot of deceit now. Look at the former guy who'd been president, exceptionally full of deceit, and people are suckered into it. It seems like an evil force to me. I sensed it in 2015, and I've not seen any change in that. And it's just people are in. It's like pulled in by an evil force or something. But there are some social issues that I do agree with the right. Electric cars are it's wacky the way they're pushing them on us. A lot of people just don't realize what's really involved in how they make the batteries. What do they do with the old batteries? You have to make a lot more electricity to power, recharge all those batteries, and our grid is not ready for anything like that. And the energy it takes to make that electricity, where does that come from? Socially, too, like abortion, they say there's around 50 million people who have been aborted in this country. I mean, there's a problem. And the Democrats have to open their eyes to be more pro-life. I mean, I'm not saying abortion should be totally outlawed, but there's a problem that if you have 50 million people who have been murdered by abortion, and it's not just all rape, incest, and the life of the mother, obviously. There's got to be some consensus somewhere.
Yeah, Tom, I appreciate you sharing all that with us. And before I let you go, I just want to ask you, how do you feel about our... And by the way, if someone is just tuning in, Tom's talking to us from Cedarburg and told us how he used to vote for Republicans regularly, but now in recent years has started to vote for Democrats more often. But Tom, how do you feel about Joe Biden and how he's done so far? How do you feel about the economy and Joe Biden's work so far?
Well, I think history can prove that when the Democrats are in charge, they straighten up the messes that the Republicans have made. And he seems to be doing that. I mean, look where we came from, COVID. I mean, look how down the economy was. And there's still effects of it. And for a lot of people who have been forced to leave the workforce, my brother has COVID symptoms, and he's having trouble. And you've got over a million people at least who've been killed by it. And say another 3 or 4 million who are suffering effects. There's a lady at work who she's been out the last six weeks with symptoms. I mean, these are real things, and people wonder, where's that labor? Well,
Hey, that's where we're Tom, I hate to cut you off, brother, but we got to go to a break. We're almost out of time here. So thank you for calling in and sharing all your thoughts. You sound like a well-informed person these days. And we are going to take a quick break. You're tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show on Civic Media.
For a quote today.
Same thing, Mama. You understand that? Well, like, understand that you can't, because, like, I've been to, you know, Paris, Beirut, you know, I've been to Iraq, Iran, Eurasia, you know, I speak very, very,
Yeah, some great Doobie Brothers on a Tuesday morning. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. Stu Daniels here, filling in for Earl today. Hope you're having a good day. Thank you for tuning in to your local Civic Media radio station. And before the break, we were talking with a listener, Tom, right, from Cedarburg, and he was telling us how he used to be a voter who voted Republican most of the time because he listened to Rush Limbaugh and he believed a lot of that stuff. But then he changed after dealing with some of the crazy things going on in Wisconsin politics, Scott Walker and his promises that he broke, and hopefully listening to radio stations like his local Civic Media radio station helped out. But I was wondering how, or if there are any other listeners who felt that way. You know, a lot of things have changed about the Republican Party in recent years, especially with the former president, Donald Trump. And it seems like a lot of people that I've talked to, both on the air and off the air, who at one time voted Republican, think a lot of the things Republicans are doing these days is pretty extreme, to say the least. If you feel that way, or if you know somebody whose positions have changed over the years, feel free to give us a call, 844-967-2789. And I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. I'll get back to this story about Tom Tiffany, the fact that he's thinking about running against Tammy Baldwin, making some moves, getting some things in order in case he decides to do that. And where I left off in this story from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel was talking about John Righeimer, I believe it's pronounced, chairman of the Sawyer County Republican Party, said Tom Tiffany set the pace for winning more Republican and conservative votes in recent races. Earlier in the story, it mentioned that his district, the 7th district in Wisconsin up north, at one time was a 50-50 purple district, but now is solidly Republican. This gentleman, the chairman of the Sawyer County Republican Party, John Righeimer, says he's very good, referring to Tiffany, he's very good at keeping us focused to be in our backyard. Righeimer said if he chooses to run statewide, Tiffany can bring that same approach to other parts of Wisconsin, including the pivotal suburbs around Milwaukee. Tiffany would also retain an advantage in the 7th district as well, Righeimer said. Quote, he'll run up the score so big in the seventh and the Northland. Sometimes that's a struggle for other candidates. The Northland can be a little finicky. End of quote. Tiffany said his brand of politics can also translate well throughout the state. Quote, I'm a Wisconsinite through and through, he said. I grew up on a dairy farm, big farm family. There's people like that all over Wisconsin. Ran my own business, raised a family here. I went to public school. Yeah, good for him. Makes you wonder why many Republicans don't like public school anymore. And he goes on, he says, my kids went to public school. I think we all share the same heritage and culture. Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, that's the story from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about the possibility of Tom Tiffany running against Tammy Baldwin next year. And hey, if you want to join the conversation, feel free. Phone number here is 844-967-2789. Stu Daniels filling in for Earl today. And I want to go back to what our caller was saying a little while ago. A gentleman called in, said that he voted Republican in the past, but now sees that Democrats are more for the common person, the working man. In fact, I remember when I used to be on with Earl in the morning, I would often boil things down and say, man, there is one party that looks out for billionaires and corporations, and there's one party that looks out for the people. And I still believe that to this day. And if you don't believe that, let me tell you about this story from The Hill. And one of the things that Tom from Cedarburg mentioned was the economy. You know, if you listen to the Republican talking points these days, they say, oh, Joe Biden, he's ruined our economy. And if you know about what's happened over the past few years, all you can do is laugh and scratch your head, right? I mean, you think about what happened when Joe Biden took over. That was a ruined economy after COVID and the failure of response from our previous president to the COVID problem. But then it seemed like Joe Biden got in and just started taking care of business. And since he's been in office for over 2 years now, Republicans have kept saying, have continued to say, that there's a recession on the way. There's a big recession coming. Joe Biden is ruining our economy by spending all this money, and there's a big recession that's going to happen, and we're all going to be screwed, right? Well, you never know what's going to happen in the future, but I think that the Biden administration has done a pretty darn good job averting that recession and making things happen. The job market is still going strong, and the economy is still going strong for most people. This story from The Hill, let's see, this was posted today, this morning, talks about how the Biden administration is doing even more for the working people of this country. The headline says, the Biden administration is going to launch workforce hubs in Arizona, Georgia, Ohio, Maryland, and Pennsylvania. And even though it doesn't mention Wisconsin, at least at this time, these workforce hubs will definitely help the entire country. It says here, the Biden administration is launching workforce hubs in the coming months. And what it says is an effort to meet the demands for labor driven by infrastructure and manufacturing investments. So, as you probably know, the Biden administration was able to pass an infrastructure bill, a real one, unlike the previous administration, which talked about infrastructure. Every week was infrastructure week, right? But it never happened. So now that the real infrastructure bill has been passed, and the Biden administration has invested quite a bit in manufacturing across the country, we need people to take care of these jobs, to do the infrastructure and to do the manufacturing. So that's why they're launching these hubs. It says the hubs will begin in a number of states that are also key 2024 battlegrounds, including Arizona, Georgia, and Ohio. The hubs are aimed to, quote, ensure a diverse and skilled workforce, end quote, through apprenticeship programs and in partnership with state and local officials, employers, unions, community colleges, high schools, and other stakeholders. The first hubs will launch this summer in Phoenix, Arizona, Columbus, Ohio, Baltimore, Maryland, Augusta, Georgia, and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Now, earlier, last segment, we talked to Tom from Cedarburg, who said he was a former Republican voter, but now votes for Democrats. And that may be the case with our next caller as well. It's CJ from Stoughton. CJ, are you a former Republican who now votes for Democrats? Are you there? CJ, I can't hear you. Can you hear me? All right. Well, we'll come back to you. How's that sound? I'll go on with the story that says the first hubs will launch this summer in Phoenix, Columbus, Baltimore, Augusta, and Pittsburgh. And we'll continue. And it says here the regions are places where the administration says it noticed significant investments in certain industries, like in Phoenix for the semiconductor industry and in Augusta, Georgia for the solar and electric vehicle industry, a senior administration official said. And it says here the administration says it is creating the hubs to help find workers needed because of other legislation it has championed, including the bipartisan infrastructure law, the CHIPS and Science Act, the Inflation Reduction Act, and the COVID-19 relief package. Officials said that all those pieces of legislation have led to a demand for workers. The administration plans to use the first five cities as models to replicate across the country, officials said, but didn't preview what other states might be a hub next. So I think we might have CJ back on the phone. CJ, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, you asked me if I voted.
All right. So
I now vote Republican. Well, I'm libertarian, but yes, because we're living the Democrat policy. And Tom Tiffany is right. Tammy Baldwin would be tough to beat, but we have lost our sovereignty. Are you aware that they're kicking veterans out of housing to put in one of these 6.2 million that have come across our country since Biden's took office? Our country's sovereignty is gone. Every state is a border state. Every city is a border city. It's going to happen. That's why they're launching this. This is all about buying votes. That's the bottom line. This is a two-year preparation, and President Trump's last year in office, 360,000 illegals came across, down to 30,000 or less, 12,000, I guess. And, you know, that's, you know what we had this last weekend? 83,000 that the Border Patrol documented, and 6.2 million with 1.9 million, they estimate, gotaways. And now they're doing mass releases into cities.
Yeah. And CJ, let me ask you this. Let me ask you a question. And I know you got some good statistics there, but let me ask you this. How does that affect you? If people are running, fleeing from the conditions that they've been living in Guatemala or Honduras or Mexico, and they come to the United States to create a better life for themselves and their family, how does that affect you? Are you being affected by that?
Yes, because it's estimated, and here's another statistic for you, Congressional Budget Office, nonpartisan, that says it costs our government through hospitals, schooling, food stamps, $10,000 per immigrant, illegal, undocumented immigrant, and we've had 6.2 million. So run those numbers. You know what?
Let me ask you one more question before I let you go, CJ. We got to take a break, but let me ask you one more question. These undocumented immigrants who work for a living, Many of them come across the border and they take jobs in restaurants and hotels and other places, and they pay taxes. They pay federal taxes. How many millions of dollars in taxes do they pay that they don't get back? We got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. I'm Stu Daniels filling in for Earl today. Hope you're having a good day so far. Got 8:50 right now is the time. And we've been discussing a few different topics this morning. Your input is always appreciated. Feel free to call 844-967-2789 is the phone number. And we've been discussing the differences between Democrats and Republicans and people who vote for Democrats or Republicans. Let's go back to the phones. We have Mary from Wauwatosa on the line. Good morning, Mary. What do you have to say today?
Good morning, Stu. This isn't a political talk or political call. It's really good to hear your voice again. You know, over time, I've known Crude and Earl to choose their spokespersons carefully, which is why you're representing civic media this morning. And when you were back on the air, I appreciated your knowledge and your sense of humaneness that's characteristic of the Democratic Party, you know, its care of people over power. Over power and money. And so I hope that we're going to hear more from you here on out. Come on back.
Well, that's very kind of you to say that, Mary. I appreciate the kind words. Thank you very much. And thank you for the call. I hope you have a great day. All right, let's move on and talk to Tom from Los Angeles. Tom, how are you today?
Hey, Stu. First off, great to hear you back, buddy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Awesome. Absolutely. I hope that I ring the sentiments of Mary. So hopefully they Crudy can find some spot they can put you in, which would be great. But anyway, first off, or second off, we the people ultimately are the government. And I think what's starting to happen is the people are starting to wake up and realize what party it is that actually fights for the American people. I still think that the messaging on the progressive side of the aisle sucks. I still think the Republicans are better at messaging and making things simple to the American people. But I think that little by little, people are actually seeing the difference between the two parties. And, you know, whether Joe Biden is elderly, I'll say. The one thing I will say is he must have a good team around him that is doing the work that we need done for we the people. I would love to challenge a person like CJ or any of the Republicans and have them name one policy that the Republicans since Eisenhower have actually passed that has helped we the people. I would love to know, because I know what the Democratic policies are, including Medicare and all the FDR programs, which I think that we need to start asking our Democratic people is, are they an FDR Democrat? Because that's what we need in order to invest, not spend. The Republicans love to spend and put it on a credit card, whereas the Democrats actually invest and get a return on investment. And for all those people out there that call themselves business people, that's the idea of business, is that you get a return on investment from what it is that you actually are putting out there. So again, name one policy that the Republicans have passed that has helped we the people directly. I would love to know that. Thanks, Stu. I really appreciate it.
Tom, before you go, let me ask you this. You know, I think as a generalization, you could say that when Republicans get in office, what they like to do is tax cuts for the wealthy, tax cuts for the billionaires and the corporations. So it sounds like what you're saying is you don't think those tax cuts for the billionaires and the corporations actually trickle down to the average person and make any difference in their lives.
Well, I'll tell you this. The story is there's a, in 1966, there was a guy by the name of Jude Wininsky, and he worked for Reagan. And the Republicans were sick and tired of the Democrats being the Santa Claus for we the people. So they said, we want to become the Santa Claus, or we're never going to be in office. So their Santa Claus was tax cuts, was to bring tax cuts and talk about tax cuts, spend like drunken sailors when they're in office, and then when they're not in office, bitch about the debt and deficit, which we see they follow that to a complete T. I would recommend everyone go to Google or DuckDuckGo or whatever it is that is your search engine, and just look up to Santa Claus theory, Jude Wininsky. And you'll see exactly this is an actual strategy from the Republicans to make it so the Democrats, when they're in power and they're trying to actually balance budgets and things like that, but they shoot the Santa Claus, they shoot the policies that are actually helping we the people. And that's part of, a strategy since 1966, and they have performed it marvelously, but we haven't had enough Democrats that have actually spoken about what it is. So what they do, like I said, is they spend, just like George War Criminal Bush did, spend like crazy, spend like a drunken sailor, no offense to drunken sailors, but spend like a drunken sailor, and then all of a sudden, they get in office and they bitch about the debt and deficit. We all know Reagan, George H.W. Bush, George War Criminal Bush. We know that they are the ones, and Trump, are the ones that have actually increased the debt and deficit more so than anybody on the Democratic side has ever even dreamed of. So, to Santa Claus theory, yeah. Jude Wininsky, please, everyone check it out.
Yeah, Tom, great call as usual. Thank you very much. And thanks again for the kind words. Thanks for calling in. We'll talk to you again soon. And I have to agree with Tom on just about every point that he said. You know, it seems like when we have a Republican president, big tax cuts for the billionaires, big tax cuts for the corporations. And then we have a national debt that climbs by trillions of dollars again. And then the Democrats have to follow up. And it seems like whenever a Democratic president takes office, the economy is, you know, having a difficult time, to say the least. And they have to do everything they can to bring the economy back and put it on a solid foundation again. Anyway, we have to take a top of the hour break. Stick around. I'll be back after the news. You are tuned in to Civic Media.